With Montana News, I'm Nora Sachs. For decades now, Superfund meetings have been routine in Butte, but their highly technical nature can deter locals who want to stay informed and involved. On Friday night, about 50 people of all ages gathered in Montana Tech's library auditorium for a different kind of conversation about Superfund, one aimed at demystifying the complex science, policy, and jargon behind the ongoing cleanup. This first ever public forum was hosted by KBMF, Butte's community radio station, and it's the brainchild of 26-year-old Butte native Daniel Hogan, who's serving as an AmeriCorps Vista member with KBMF.
It really boils down to the fact that over 100 years of mining activity has made dangerous and deadly toxins readily available in the ecosystem in which we live, and those toxins must be rendered unavailable by some means. It's my hope that by the end of the evening, we will be becoming more intimately acquainted with how this process works.
The forum featured six panelists, including citizen advocates, Montana Tech professors, and city and state employees, who know Superfund front and back. High school junior Leif Clark was the designated chief accessibility officer.
Simply put, I'm here this evening to ensure that tonight's discussion remains at a technical level appropriate for people who aren't necessarily experts with the Superfund dialect.
Hogan asked the experts to explain and weigh in on a variety of public and environmental health concerns. Clark was on acronym patrol.
All right, now, just as a quick clarification, are you using CERCLA in the same context and the same usage as Superfund?
Mary Kay Craig is a founding member of the group Citizens for Labor and Environmental Justice and a two-time cancer survivor. She's particularly interested in something announced in November, phase two of the EPA's upcoming health study on contaminants of concern.
And I don't mean to be putting down any of the agencies, but I think that for us to really have great confidence in what comes out of it, it would be good if EPA, DEQ, the county, and BPARCO, if they would be separate from the independent entity that puts it together.
Raylan Brandle, the director of the Clark Fork Watershed Education Program, thinks the study should look beyond just physical health indicators and consider the community's mental and emotional health.
So does the Superfund status and living in a place that's considered toxic affect our mental health? Does it add to suicide rates? Does it add to alcoholism? You know, what happens to our children as they're growing up here? Do they want to just leave and get out of Butte as soon as they can?
Another theme of the discussion was the status of the reclamation of hundreds of acres of old mine waste dumps on the Butte Hill, and what restoration can really mean in a landscape that's been fundamentally altered by mining activities. David Hutchins tackled that second R in the context of the debate over the future of Silverbow Creek, which runs through Butte. He's a scientist and member of the Citizens Technical Environmental Committee.
I think it is important to notice, though, that that creek was once connected to the entire watershed that's above it, beyond the pit. And so no matter how we look at it, it is going to be a compromise. We're going to draw the line somewhere and say, from here down, we want it to be a creek. And above that, we're going to accept that it's beyond repair.
The Berkeley Pit, often the most popular topic in Superfund conversations, was notably just a sidebar at this forum, in part because its fate is legally settled. Instead, forum organizer Daniel Hogan asked the panel for insight on the EPA's recent announcement that the parties responsible for the cleanup of the Butte Hill are close to reaching an agreement after 12 years at the negotiating table.
I'm glad you started with there's a gag order.
That's Pat Kanin with the state's Natural Resource Damage Program. While he was limited in what he could say, he did share that after a prolonged stalemate, the state is moving ahead with the removal of a big deposit of mine waste buried near Silverbow Creek.
Since the meeting in January, that's about all we can say publicly as the paratailings are coming out.
As the discussion veered towards what the public could do going forward, Kanin stressed that the cleanup on the table now is better because of citizens speaking up.
So I would encourage you all to stay vigilant, to stay engaged, and stay vocal. Because it ain't over yet. We don't have a signed agreement. And if you fall back asleep, the agreement's not going to be as good as if you stay vocal.
After the formal chat, attendees were gathering in the lobby, snacking on mini pasties. Lynn Ferguson said she found the forum really helpful.
Did you learn anything new?
On the process and the different, I've heard the acronyms thrown around, and getting them explained makes a lot more sense.
David Hutchins said the tone of this event was a contrast from many other Superfund meetings he's been a part of that have gotten confrontational.
There's some knockdown, drag-out fights at some of these meetings, so this was refreshing to have it be very friendly.
Adriana Doria said while she's lived near the Berkeley Pit for the last 10 years, she came to this event not knowing much about Superfund.
So this was actually really good for me because it covered things from like a basic standpoint to where I can understand it.
Organizer Daniel Hogan plans to continue hosting a radio show called Superfund 101 on KBMF, using the station as a platform to educate his community on the progress of the cleanup. I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.